Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing in exhortation, oh sing all ye citizens from heaven above. Glory to God in the highest, oh come let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. My name is Pastor T. Meyer McCain, and I'm your host for today. Well, I'm your host all the time on UCA Radio. Actually, UCA Radio stands for United Christian Ambassadors. And if you are a lover of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you are doing his will on this earth, then you are an ambassador for Christ. And, oh, yes, by the way, I'm the pastor of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, which is located at 869 North Euclid Avenue. So, and that's in Upland, California, 91786, and we're inviting you to come out and worship with us. Our services starts at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. Okay, once again, that's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786, and our services start at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. So come on and worship with us, okay? Also, call, text, or inbox all of your friends and family members and tell them to dial in for this special edition of UCA Radio. The number to dial in is 646-668-8537, or you can look for my post on Facebook, Twitter, Alignable, or Instagram. Now, if you see the post on Facebook, you can click on the picture or on the link, and you can listen to the program all this week, today and all this week, like right now, and then all the rest of the week. Just go to that post and click on it, and you can hear the entire program, okay? So you can do that, or you can go to Solar Records Radio and look up UCA Radio, hosted by T. Meyer McCain, and go ahead and click on whichever program you want to listen to and have a good time, right? All right. Okay, so, don't forget to tune in to The Message of Life with T. Meyer and my wife, Tecila McCain. And we're on hsbn.tv, and you can always catch us on YouTube, the same show, The Message of Life, with T. Meyer and Tasila on YouTube and many other apps anytime this week. So join us. You will be blessed. So in the meantime, I'm going to ask you to not go away. Stay right here. We'll be right back with our message today. Praise you.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, "Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite." Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, "Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the tree, with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea."
Let's get right into our message for today. The message of today is sowing discord in the congregation. Sowing discord in the congregation. Now, we must continually keep in mind that Satan will always try to sow discord within the congregation. He himself could very well enter into your church to try to cause confusion and discord. You know, that I actually had an experience with that. One day when I was young and had just given my heart to the Lord, and I attended a church called the Upper Room Ministry. It was the end of the service, that church, and our pastor, Ray Cirillo, was just about to lift up our offerings to the church, to the Lord. As we gave our offering, he would lift up our offering to the Lord. But before he did that, he started to instruct the congregation to walk faithfully with the Lord. He was just telling us to be faithful to God. And he said to follow his example. Then all of a sudden, this man stood up. He was kind of tall, but very heavy, slouchy looking and dirty, you know. And he stood up and said, "Are you as righteous as Job?" Then he kept talking loud and telling the congregation not to listen to the pastor. But the Spirit of the Lord was so strong in the place, in the church, that this man, who the Holy Spirit told me right away was Satan himself, I mean, the Holy Spirit really impressed that in my spirit, that this was actually Satan right there in your congregation, you know. Satan had to get up. He had to get up and leave. He could not stay there. But even when he got up to leave, he still kept trying to convince the people not to listen to Ray Cirillo, my pastor. He kept saying, don't listen to him, folks, and just walking out, still talking. He couldn't remain there under the anointing. Nobody followed him out. He just got up and started walking and trying to convince us not to listen to our pastor. He was sowing discord within the congregation. Now, I was shocked at that whole thing. You know, I'm new, and so I was shocked at that. But understand that Satan will use anyone to sow discord in the church. I remember another time when I used to sing with a professional recording group called Lakeside. I was a Christian. And I went to church all the time, and we had a gig, or what we call it a gig, but it's a show. We had a show on a Sunday evening in Pomona after church. It was on the Sunday evening, but it was after church. We had an evening church service, and so it was after our church service we were going to go to Pomona and do our show. And one of the members of the group by the name of Otis, we actually had no ride to go to Pomona to the gig. So a friend of ours, we called him CJ, from our hometown, offered to take us to church and then take us on to the gig or the show afterwards. But when Brother Cirillo started to speak, he said something that made our friend CJ upset. And he yelled out in front of the congregation, fussing, and trying to correct the pastor right in front of the congregation, loud. But the pastor stayed calm and kept talking. Then our friend CJ, who was sitting in a seat right in front of us, he kept looking back at us saying, are y'all ready to go? And we said, no, CJ, we're not ready to go. And he was very upset. Now, you know, we were extremely embarrassed because this was our friend that we had invited to the church and all of that. And he's putting up a fuss and causing discord within the congregation. And he was very upset. And then he fussed some more and turned to us again and asked, are you ready to go? And once again, we said no. So he stayed until the end of the service, and while driving us up to the gig or to the show in Pomona, he fussed all the way. And Otis and I were just miserable, you know, because here it is, this guy, we had no other choice. He was there, and we couldn't kick him out because he was our right to our job, because we got paid for our shows, so it was our job. And we couldn't kick him out of the church, and we had to ride with him. But we managed to find another way home. We didn't have to ride with CJ to get home. But the point is that he was sowing discord in the congregation. You know, Satan will use anyone. Especially, he'll use a witch, and that's what he commonly uses, is witches. Witches will come and sit in the congregation and try to cast spells on different people, even try to cast spells on the pastor. So that's a common thing that he always do. He wants to sow discord. Satan will even use another member of the church, and he will even use you if he can to sow discord in the church without you even knowing it. So be careful, be alert, be watchful. Don't let Satan cause you to be angry at your fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. But always be ready to truly forgive if you are offended by them. We must be spiritually alert to all of Satan's devices, as it is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan wants you to always keep your walk about you instead of being about Jesus. He wants you to be selfish, never considering what you are doing and how you might be affecting others. Our entire walk with the Lord is all about loving God and loving our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, our family, our friends, strangers, and believe it or not, even our enemies. The Lord made it clear in Proverbs chapter 6 about the things he hates. And the last thing he mentioned was he who sows discord in the congregation, within the congregation. He talked about a proud look, a lying tongue, those who shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. But I'm going to focus more on those who sow discord among the congregation, among the brethren, the congregation, Proverbs 6, verse 19. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. But first, let's go over the other six things. Let's go ahead and go over those things. I'm going to focus more on the last one, but let's go over the others, okay? Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. Now, understand, a proud look. Christians, keep in mind that pride comes before the fall. Pride is very, very hurtful to your own soul. It keeps you from forgiving people. It brings forth and keep you being a prejudiced, selfish person. It brings forth that prejudice, selfishness. Pride has no patience, and it causes you to lift yourself up higher than you should be. For a Christian to have foolish pride, it will cause their light to grow dim, therefore turning people away from the Lord instead of drawing them near. And the other thing is a lying tongue. When we lie, we are doing the will of Satan. And Jesus said that Satan was a liar and the father of lies. So Christians, stop doing Satan's will and get into the flow of the Holy Spirit and speak truth. The other thing is hands that shed innocent blood. You know, like the Pharisees when they caused Jesus to be put to death. And also people today are shedding innocent blood when it comes to abortions and creating deadly viruses and so on. Many innocent people are killed in these political wars. Many of our political figures, governments, secret societies, billionaires, and so on, who shed innocent blood are those who are full of pride and feel that it's their job to control the population. There's so much more on that, but let's continue. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. The Lord can no longer dwell with mankind because of the evil imagination of their hearts. The evil imaginations of their heart. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God said that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the hearts, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Let's continue with the things that God hates. He hates feet that be swift in running to mischief. Mischief. What is mischief? Mischief is a cause or source of harm, evil, irritation, especially a person who causes mischief. Mischief is an action that annoys or irritates. Even Aaron, Moses' brother Aaron, remember Aaron, said these words to Moses about the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 32, verse 22. And Aaron said, "Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot, Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. Let's continue with the things God hates. A false witness that speaketh lies. The Pharisees told lies and had people set up to bear false witness against Jesus and on Paul as well. The Pharisees broke 13 of God's laws in order to put Jesus to death. So many of these things we could go on and on about, but let's continue with the things God hates. The last one he called an abomination, and that is when you sow discord among the brethren and within the congregation, or within the congregation. When you sow discord, you are actually sowing seeds of bitterness, anger, distrust, confusion, and hatred into other people's hearts. You are doing Satan's will, and most of the time you are not even aware of it, because some people feel justified in going to other members of the church to talk about someone who may have offended them in the congregation. Don't do that. Instead, here's what you do. You follow the teachings of Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. The Lord says, "Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he shall hear you, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear you, then take with you one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto you as an heathen man and a publican." There is order in the church that many Christians fail to follow. And this scripture instructs us in what we should do. It says to go to the person who offended you. Don't go to others in the congregation before you have talked to the one who offended you. If they don't hear you, then try to reason with the person by having two or three who are witnesses of the offense. If that doesn't work, then take it to the leadership of the church. And even the two or three witnesses, they may not have necessarily been a witness of the actual offense, but they're there as a witness to show the person the wrong that they did and see if the person will accept it. And if that doesn't work, then you take it to the leadership of the church, the pastor or elders. And still, if this person persists in his offensive ways, then separate yourself from them. Even if it's the pastor who offended you, go first to the pastor, not to members of the congregation, because by not following these biblical rules, you are sinning and causing discord within the church, and God hates it. My wife and I left a church where many people were sowing discord within the congregation, and it eventually and literally split the church in two. Your church should be a place of unity, love, and oneness in the sight of the Lord, a place where you are strengthened in your walk, a place of support, a place of good, solid teachings, instructions, and directions. A place filled with obedient, faithful people. Your church should be a place of preparation, a place where you are being prepared to be like Jesus, preparing you to literally see the Lord and become one with him and in him. Your church should be a church filled with the Holy Spirit, a place of real, true love, and a place that prepares you to assist and that prepares you and assists you in being God's greater works people. Because we have work to do, church. We have a lot of work to do for the glory of God. It is not a social club where you get together and just talk about other people. telling your fellow brothers and sisters what you hate about another brother or sister in the Lord. It is not a place of being nosy. Stop being nosy. Don't be a busybody, getting into other people's business, wanting to find out something personal about their private lives so you can go and tell others in the congregation or people even outside the congregation. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. At the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. The Bible speaks strongly against busybodies. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. You keep calling people or just messing with people. Stop doing that. Keep in mind that we are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So let our judgment be good, not bad. Even in this life, you don't want to suffer as an evildoer, as it is written in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15. Make sure that none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a troublesome meddler. A troublesome meddler is a busybody. This is a terrible spirit of division that destroys churches. We as true saints of God should simply mind our own business. And our business is kingdom business. That's what the business of the church is. Every single individual, your business is kingdom business. Don't be so concerned about how you don't like how certain people dress, their jobs, their careers, how they talk, their skin color, their size, or their ways, whether their ways are offensive to you or not. If their ways are offensive to you, consider yourself first. It could be that you're just not patient enough with people. It could be that you are full of foolish pride, or you could be prejudiced against the things that people do and or their lifestyles. And then again, let's flip it. It could be that these people are doing offensive things. They may truly have offensive ways. And if that's the case, then once again, follow the rules that Scripture has laid out for us in Matthew chapter 18, 15, verses 15, 16, and 17. When people sow discord, that means that they will call you to talk about anybody, even the pastor or other members of the church, and some of them will try to have you to leave your church. I remember once again when I was young in the ministry, and my pastor, the late Ray Cirillo, would tell the congregation to be aware of those who will call you in order to pull you away from the ministry. They will talk evil against the pastor. And he was talking about members of the congregation that would do this. And I thought to myself, well, no one would call me and try to talk against our pastor, Ray Cirillo. What could they possibly say against him or against the message that he's teaching? Well, to my surprise, I did get a call from one of the members of the church. Someone I looked up to, someone I had respect for. I thought he was a pillar in the church. But he called and spoke against Ray Cirillo. He spoke against the pastor. I was shocked. I told him that I didn't agree with him. We went back and forth, but I convinced him, I do not agree with you. And he never called me again. Then, a few months later, I received another phone call from a member of the church, and this member was a close friend. And he also spoke against the pastor. And I had to let him know that I wasn't in agreement with him also. And he didn't call me back. If I did speak to him, he never spoke against the pastor in front of me. Some people will call you even after they have left the church to try to get you to leave the church as well. They will try to get you to leave the church and then try to get you to join their new ministry because they started a ministry and they want you to be a part of it. Or they'll just try to have you leave the church altogether and just go to a different church. So be careful. If the Holy Spirit led you to a particular church, you stay there until or unless the Holy Spirit tells you to leave. And if the Holy Spirit says leave, then you leave. Keep in mind that it isn't good to speak against the leadership of your church among the members of the congregation. If the leadership is not following the true word of God, then you speak to your pastor about it. But always keep them in prayer, whether the pastors or he or she, your pastors, hear you or not. You must still respect their office. So when you talk to them, still speak with respect. Speak with respect toward them, honoring their office. Even if it's hard for you to honor them, honor the office. Like David, although King Saul, I'm talking about King David, before he was king, he was under King Saul. And King Saul was trying to kill David, trying to kill him simply because of jealousy. David would not harm Saul, and he had many opportunities to do so, but he would not lift his hand against Saul. David felt like if anybody was going to kill him, let it be the Lord, but it will not be by his hand, because David always referred to Saul as God's anointed, and he respect his office. He knew that God placed him there. Saul may have blown it, but David knew that God had placed him in that office. Now, understand there are people that put themselves in positions as apostles, prophets, and pastors and all that. They put themselves there. But those that God has placed in those offices, you have to respect it. Respect the office. Also, keep in mind that the children of Israel stood up against Moses and Aaron, and the Lord's anger was kindled against them. The Lord was going to actually kill every one of them in the wilderness, the children of Israel, and spare Moses. But Moses stood in the gap. He fell before the Lord and pleaded the cause for the people. And the Lord hearkened to Moses and changed his mind. And then he gave Moses these instructions in Numbers chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods, all the leaders of the tribes brought their rods to Moses, because the Lord was about to establish something. People that he chose are people that he chose, and no matter what, you can't stand up against it. So anyway, they brought their rods, and he said, write thou every man's name upon his rod, and thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. Aaron was a Levite. So he had put his rod down, and Moses wrote Aaron's name on his rod. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers, and thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom, and I will make to cease from the murmurings of the children of Israel, because they were murmuring a lot. That causes discord also, a bunch of murmuring, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes, their leaders, gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one according to their father's house, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow, or the next day, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness. And behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded. And it brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. Ripe almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto the children of Israel. And they looked and took every man his rod, after they saw that their rod didn't bud, but Aaron's rod budded. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels. And thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. The Lord hates murmuring. Don't be a murmurer. He doesn't like it because it sows discord within the congregation. And Moses did so, and the Lord commanded him, so he did. So did he. He obeyed the Lord. The Lord also put Aaron's rod in the Ark of the Covenant, along with the tables that the Ten Commandments was written on, and the shewbread, all of that was in the ark, and it stayed there for quite some time. Moses and Aaron were the leadership in the congregation, the church in the wilderness, and he was the leadership in the congregation, which was the church in the wilderness. The people in the wilderness under Moses and Aaron, they were a church, a congregation. And the Lord made it clear who he chose. God even told Miriam and Aaron, both of them, Moses' brother and sister, they tried to raise up against Moses. And when they sinned, especially with Miriam, who tried to raise up against Moses. And the Lord had to settle that situation as well. The Lord told them that he speaks to his prophets, and he'll speak to them by dreams and visions and so on, but not so with Moses. He made it a clear distinction. Not so with Moses. With Moses, I speak to him face to face. And then because of Miriam's rebellion and rising up against Moses, she was struck with leprosy. And the Lord eventually healed her, but she had to be punished for rising up against the leadership that God had chosen. So be careful with the things that you might say against the leadership of your church. Whatever church you go to, be careful and respect the office. Praise the Lord. He made it clear that he chose Aaron as the priest of in the priesthood amongst the children of Israel when they were out in the wilderness. Because, see, when Aaron provided his rod, it was to represent the tribe of Levi. And the tribe of Levi was the priesthood. And that's why it put forth buds, produced blossoms, and bore ripe almonds. This was evidence of Aaron's exclusive right to the priesthood of the tribe of Levi. He was chosen by God. Many of you are chosen by God to do a particular work. And anyone that comes against that or speak against you, they better be careful. If God puts you there, then that's where you are. That's where he's anointed you in that. So you respect your office and walk upright in your office, and others will respect it. And then those that don't, well, they have to answer to the Lord. So be careful with the words you speak. Make sure you're not the one that's sowing discord within the congregation. Make sure you stay correct and try your best to do the things. Try your best to not do the things that God hates. Don't sow discord among the brethren, but do the things that pleases God. Do the things that he loves. Let your lifestyle be a worship to the Lord, because that makes the Lord happy. And I know that all of you would just love to make the Lord happy. I'm sure you would. I know I would. I want to always make the Lord happy. Put a smile on the face of God. That's a blessing for you alone. So remember that. Don't sow discord among the congregation. Respect the office of your leaders, but go to God in all things. In all things, take it to the Lord. The Lord is our wisdom. He's our counselor, and he will lead us in the right things to do. And then follow his instructions once he give it to you. Don't take matters into your own hands, because usually when we do that, we mess everything up. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this. Stay right there.
Long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible says, Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day.
Hark now, hear the angels sing, new King's born today.
And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Shepherds watched their flocks by night. They saw a bright new shining star and heard a choir from heaven sing. The music came from afar.
Hark now, hear the angels sing, a new king's born today.
And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Joseph and his wife Mary came to Bethlehem that night. They found no place to bear her child, not a single room was in sight. By and by they found a little nook in a stable all forlorn. And in a manger cold and dark, Mary's little boy child was born.
Trumpets sound and angels sing, listen to what they say,
that man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
Said man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Star with royal beauty bright.
Onward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect line. We've traveled so far, following that star.
and rescue captive Israel. He lie in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, Emmanuel shall rescue captive Israel. O come, Son of God, and save your people. Go against all odds. You are the truth, the life, the only way to give us victory over the grave. Oh, rejoice, Emmanuel shall rescue captive Israel. Oh come, Jesus Christ, we thank you for the pearl of great price. We walk now in your wonderful light, with the promise of eternal life. Oh, rejoice, Emmanuel shall rescue captive Israel. Rejoice, Emmanuel shall rescue captive Israel. Shall rescue captive Israel. Shall rescue captive